Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we're going to make it, church. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Are you glad you are the house of the Lord? Are you glad to be able to come together and worship Him in spirit and in truth? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Let's give Him a real, real good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. What a privileged people we are to get to come to His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, people are driving by this place, speeding just as fast as they can to get by this church, not just this church, but anywhere they go, they just run, 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 speed, speed, speed. But I'm so glad that my brakes just likes to stop here at this place. Aren't you glad you just love to stop at this place? Are you glad there's a call in your life that wants you to come to this place to worship Him in spirit and in truth? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you love them in the name of the Lord. You're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Play some more of that, God. So good to have you here in the house of the Lord tonight. I believe we're going to have some church here tonight. I believe the Lord just going to meet with us in a wonderful way. He always does. He always does. You can be seated just for a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. I have several things we want to let you know about. Just pray that the Lord would be mindful of all these situations tonight. I want to pray for Brother Frank Williams' brother. His name is Jimmy. He suffered a stroke, and they're just asking that we would remember him as we pray tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of him. I want to pray for the grandson of Sister Kirkpatrick from Rolla, Missouri, who is facing some legal battles. Pray for his soul. Also pray for Sister Kirkpatrick, who is having problems with her stomach. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray, that the Lord would be mindful of that. Also, here's just another request about Brother Frank's brother, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. This is from Brother Jerry Williams, sends this in. to pray for his grandfather spiritually and physically. He just needs the Lord in both areas of his life, so we want to remember that need tonight. And I also want to pray for Brother Jury, that the Lord would provide him with a job situation that he's working now, but the job has caused him to miss a lot of church. He just asking that we would remember him, that the Lord would open up a new area of work for him, that he could be faithful to the house of the Lord. So that's a good request, isn't it? Just pray for that need tonight. Brother Baker wants to thank the Lord for touching him. His surgery went well. He wants to thank you for your prayers. He thanks the Lord Jesus for bringing him through that. So we do too, don't we? Amen. Sister Estep wants to thank everyone for their prayers for her, and to tell the church that she loves them. She is doing much better, so we want to remember her, to continue to hold her up before the Lord. The Lord just be mindful of her. Continue to pray for Sister Becky Lynch. She is now home, feeling some better, but we'll be followed up by home health care. Brother Melvin and her want to thank everyone for their prayers and want to thank the Lord Jesus for his amazing grace. So we just praise the Lord for that tonight and continue to pray for Sister Becky, that the Lord would just continue to bring her along. I want to pray for Brother Keith Strader, who is suffering from swelling in his arms and legs. So we want to remember him tonight as we pray, from West Virginia. Brother J.D. Whitson says, I would like to thank the church family for their prayers in my recent heart scare. And I want to thank God for answering those prayers. When it looked like, from a medical standpoint, that a bad report was forthcoming, God intervened and was given a good report with nothing further needed, and I was sent home. A good report that must have surprised the doctors, Brother J.D. Whitson. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Amen. God is certainly faithful to our needs. He is mindful of our situations, and he cares. You know, we got situations in our lives sometimes, and we realize that we look around and we see so many people in worse shape than what we are. But we know that God cares about little bitty things. He cares about your aches and your pains. He loves his children. And healing is the children's bread. Do you believe that tonight? Like Caleb of old, give me my mountain. Let me receive my healing. Let my faith arise to the occasion and receive my healing. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know we're serving a prayer answering God? You believe he's more than able. You believe he's more than able. Could we stand together tonight? Brother Gene Lehman, come tonight if you would, buddy. Take us to the Lord in prayer. We just commit all these things into the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Gene Lehman and his family tonight. Love you, buddy.
Just like to say that me and the wife has went through one ordeal for about 2 weeks of trying to get moved. And it didn't look like it was going to work out. I mean, to the very moment that we were to have a truck to come, we had problems. We sold a house, but getting an apartment was just didn't look like it was going to happen. But anyway, we just laid it in the Lord's hand, and he worked it out. We got it all done. It wore both of us out, so we're tired, and we missed some church. I don't like to miss church. Brother Donnie said he loves to go to church. I am part of the church. Church is part of me. I've never been one to stay out of church. From the time I was 21 years old, I love going to church. If I had to drive 3 hours or 4 hours, it didn't matter. I want to go to church. So y'all we thank you for your prayers, though. I know that y'all put in requests for us, and I tell you, it took God. That's all I can tell you. Father, we just want to pause tonight, God, and thank you tonight, God, because you're God. Because you know the very needs of every heart. There's not a life, God, that you don't know what goes on inside of them. There's not a person in this building that you don't know what's going to happen to them before it happened, before it was ever born. It's going to happen now. It's going to happen even after we're gone. You still know what's going to happen, Father, because you're God. There's none other besides you. Lord, we invite you tonight, God, in our presence, God, knowing that you're a prayer answering God, God, and that you know the very hearts and the very intent of every heart that's in this building, or Lord, out in where the streaming's going, Father, that there's people, God, that's going through struggles. There's people going through trials. There's people going through some tests, God, that they don't look like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, Father. But God, you're still God. You've never shut your eyes or closed the door, Lord, when someone needed your help, Father. So, God, we bring these needs tonight, God. And, Lord, there's many needs. Brother Keith Phillips, Lord, he's been on my heart for months now, God. I'm asking, God, why? Lord, if you could just move on him, Lord, and make a way for him tonight, God. And, Lord, Brother Daniel, Lord, he needs a touch in his body. Many others here tonight. Brother Eugene Kennedy, Lord, there's so many, God, right here in our presence, God, that needs a touch from you, God. And only you can move, and only you can make a way tonight, God. Doctors can do so much, and that's all they can do, Father. So tonight, Lord, we just ask your will upon this service tonight, God. And, Lord, that you'll, as our pastor comes, or Lord, I just pray, God, that our hearts will be pricked tonight, God. And, Lord, our hearts will open up to the Word tonight, God. And, Father, we've been preaching on foxes. Lord, I know what that fox was. Lord, foxes kind of creep in every once in a while, and they kind of tolerate, and they'll try to intimidate you, God. But, Lord, we know that you're still God, and you help us through every trial, every test, Father. So we leave it all in your hands tonight, Lord, and we just pray your blessings on the service. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's give our streamers a nice hand tonight, if you would. How great that was. Let's sing that song, How Great Thou Art. Is he the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you? Can you think of anything greater than Jesus Christ? Somebody was telling me the other day that it was on a news, I don't know, I didn't see it or didn't hear it, but was telling me that this guy, he's a big wheel on Fox News, I think they said. And he said, to all of you out there that believe in the myth of Jesus Christ and putting the name of our Lord down and saying this drastic, ugly things. Well, he may think that right now, but there'll be a time that he won't think that. I'm glad I'm on this side looking at the good side. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright in the morning star. He's what living is all about. Somebody say glory. It sings my soul.
My soul, my soul.
Sister Chloe Martin has a song for us tonight. You can be seated as she comes to give us that song. Let's sing this little chorus together. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. He's worthy to be praised, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that tonight, if you will. Blessed be the Lord God hand tonight as she sings for you.
There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. I'm gonna rise out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and see. Oh, Gabriel.
hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. The grave's still holding him down. But our King got up on the third morning. And he's alive forevermore. Could we stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come? Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus. What a mighty God Jesus is. Let's sing that as our pastor. Do you appreciate your pastor tonight? I know you do. I know you do. Amen. Let's just pray that God will give him words that will get us on target. That put us on target. Amen. We just, whatever we need tonight, let's pray God will give it to us. Amen. What did I say we was going to say? What a mighty God, my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God, my Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Say it one more time with all you've got.
To God. There may be gods, there may be idols, there may be all kinds of things that man has made, but there's no God like Jesus. Aren't you glad you're serving the living God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So happy to be together tonight in the house of the Lord. Aren't you happy to be here? Let's turn, if you would, to the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. I hope we can always be that way before the Lord. Tender. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Well, the devil knows how to huff and puff, don't he? That's amazing how many truths that are mixed with half-truths that are mixed with lies and what these men said. And now remember, Satan's been doing this for a long time. He knows how to hit me and you exactly the same way. With truths, with some half-truths and some lies all mixed together in a big old pot, and then he takes out a big spoonful and wants you to eat it. And I hate to say it, but we've done it many a time. Haven't we? We're going to pray over the word tonight. I wonder how many would like to be remembered in prayer before the Lord. Amen. We have a prayer cloth here for Sister Linda Jablonski as well. I want to remember several out traveling, vacation, many folks gone. About 30 some of our young people are down in Kentucky in a meeting down there. Brother Darrell speaking, some of the parents down there. Brother Darrell sent me a picture this afternoon of the meeting place where they're going to be having. Some of your kids is in for a real surprise. The church, the small church that's actually supporting those meetings, their building is not big enough to be able to house all the people. So they're having it in a barn. A real barn. They don't have air conditioning. They don't have electric lights like you've got. The pews are actually bales of straw. Oh my goodness, I just laughed and chuckled, showed it to Carol also, you know. So our kids, if they haven't already started Instagramming you and texting you and all that, they're in for a real surprise. So Brother Darrell sent me those pictures. I couldn't keep from thinking of some things that the prophet had said. So I sent him some quotes back about Jesus being born in a barn. Now, I guarantee you the Holy Ghost is going to meet them right there tonight. And in the morning, don't you? I don't care if we have to meet in a barn, we've got to meet in a hog lot. Wherever we can meet to where the presence of God comes, that's what we desire. So we want to pray for them that the Lord will just be with them tonight and tomorrow. And Brother Darrell, you know, Brother Darrell loves the young people, and the Lord certainly give him a great burden and insight to help the people. So let's pray for him as well. But God will just, many of our youth are there, and we want God to do something for them, don't we? Some of our youth need the Holy Ghost. Some of them need a refilling. Some of them need healing, need a stirring. We just believe God's mindful. And for us old folks that wasn't able to make that trip, well, he's mindful of us tonight too. So he's mindful of the young and of the old and the crippled and the insane and the sane and those that wish they were or knew what they were. So whatever you need tonight, he's here and he's mindful. So let's take it to him right now. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. That's one of the things that we love about you that makes you so dear to our hearts. Is, Lord, that you don't have to have a great cathedral to where you will meet with people. As I looked at those pictures this afternoon, Lord, and my mind went to different places where I preached, and over to Kenya, Lord, as we sat out under a big old gigantic tree, about 500-600 people sitting there that day. They had a schedule mixed up in the school building that we're supposed to have, and about 20 people were sitting in the school building, but they wouldn't let us have it. So we gathered out under that tree. And as you were always faithful, you showed up. Lord, we remember one day when you had a meeting under a tree with one man. He was the littlest man in town. Hallelujah. His name was Zacchaeus. So Lord, whether it's in the barn in Kentucky tonight, whether it's you're in a nice place where we can gather and worship. Wherever your people gather in your name, you promise that you'll be with us. So Lord, we bring our needs, our burdens, our desires into your presence. We pray, Father, for those meetings there in Kentucky tonight and tomorrow. Lord, a back to school, they've called it, and they've had it for several years. And we pray for our youth, not only for ours, but there'll be youth from other churches. Lord, and our young people fight so many things. They need your help, God. I pray you'd come down in a special way tonight and tomorrow. Lord, some of our parents went with them, and may you just come by and visit them, Lord, in a special way as well. Now, Father, we've gathered here tonight, Lord, and on this Saturday night, oh God, we love church on Saturday. We just pray that you'd come and speak to us. Other of our church family, Lord, has gone on trips and vacations and taken a little time away. We pray that you'd watch over them and be with them, Father. How we're all longing for a great big long vacation here after a while, when we're going to come up to your house, Lord. I pray you'd take your word and speak to us, Father. This prayer calls for Sister Linda Jablonski. You see her need tonight, Lord. We pray that you'd be mindful. I probably stand here tonight, Lord, as the most needy person in this building. There'll be people that'll stream this service and archive it from all over the world. No doubt as the days and weeks go by, we'll hear of emails and texts from up in Canada, and from down in Argentina, from South America, from Chile, from Brazil, from all over Africa, from all over Europe, of people. Lord, this is the smallest, if the people could understand it, this is the smallest congregation that we're preaching to. When a man of God stands behind this place here, he's reaching all over the world. So we don't just want to pull tonight for those that are here, but we want to be mindful of those, Lord, those needs of others that wish they could be able to be here in church. But Lord Jesus, may you speak to all of us. We love you tonight, Father. Take your word, bless it to our heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Oh, I love him so much, don't you? Just so good to be a Christian, to be able to serve the Lord, to be able to live for him. Oh, my goodness, what he's done in each of our lives. It makes me love him so very much. Let's speak again tonight, if we can, on this little fox of discouragement. I know that he's a tiny little fellow. He's probably one that most of us, whenever he starts out working against us, he's so small and so insignificant that we don't give him a lot of credibility, because he can come in such a sneaking, low-down, conniving way. It may start with a tiny thought. It may be a feeling that when you get up in the morning, you went to bed last night, as it were, or night before last, and you felt so good. You just had so many things to be grateful for. Your last words were to the Lord Jesus, and you lay there and you're just thinking about what God had done for you, and you're just in the best of moods and in the best of humor. But you got up yesterday morning, or maybe this morning. Nothing hadn't even happened yet. Nothing hadn't even had time to go wrong. But for some reason, you just woke up in a bad mood. Anybody ever had them mornings? Well, I guess the rest of you are angels. I guess you don't even sleep then, do you? And you're wondering, Brother Gary, what in the world, what happened? I went to bed in the best mood that ever was, the best humor. And this morning I woke up, the sun ain't shining right. My wife don't look as pretty as she did last night. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with them young'uns. My car's tore up. I know it is. I ain't even cranked it yet. You think, what in the world causes us to wake up in such moods? But yet, you know, because we are emotional beings and we are touched by our emotions and all the things, the chemicals and the chemistry of our body and all the things that run inside of us, it's an absolute, really a miracle every day of our lives for us to exist in this age. And then you put all the things that we have to go through in life, all the things that we deal with that we don't, shouldn't have to deal with as sons and daughters of God. It can be by a bad thought. It can be by a bad humor, a bad mood. It can be by something tearing up in your house. Someone says, the wrong kind of word to you. Your work doesn't end well at week. When you come to the end of it and thank God it's Friday and oh my, you're looking forward to a good weekend, some time off from the job, time to go to church, and you know, Saturday doesn't start out right. This ain't right and that ain't right. And you go to church looking with great anticipation for the service, and Brother Louis starts out with a song which is not one of your favorite songs. So you stand there and you endure that song, and you don't even know why he sings that song, because you've never liked that song. It's a Bill Gaither song, and you don't like Bill Gaither nor none of his singing. So you go through it and you endure that first song and you're praying, God, please help him to sing another song. And this time he asked Brother Harry to sing a song. Don't you know it? Brother Harry sings one of the songs that's not one of your favorites. All of this is adding to your humor. All of this is adding to your mood. And then you hear, Brother Donnie's not preaching. And if you've got a bad dose of Reaganitis, I mean, that's all it took for you. You're ready to go to, oh my, Cracker Barrel or somewhere and have breakfast and forget all about church. Now, you know, some of those things may seem comical to you. And they may seem as if though they would not have much value. But if you'll think back to some of the discouraging things that you and I have been through, it's not always major, large things that Satan will use against us. And sometimes it's not one major thing after all, but it will be one little thing with another little thing with another little thing. But little things with all of their weight can begin to add up to where it becomes a great big burden and a great big difficulty in your life, and you don't even know what to do about what you're going through. Now, most of us never, well, absolutely never, go to the place of despair and discouragement of some of the Bible characters that we're going to look at tonight. But even though we may not reach the depths of where they were, yet to us and our depths of despair where we reach that, it is just as important to God as if we were Elijah, Elisha, David, Malachi, Jonah, Noah, Brother Branham, or any great people that we'd want to name. You believe that? When you reach that spot in your life, when you are so discouraged and you are so down, it means as much to God as it did if your name was Elijah or Elisha or John the Baptist. I'll tell you one thing, I couldn't serve him if he didn't love me that way. Now, because he is a father that is able to pour out his gifts and his mercy and his revelation by degrees, and he will gift people that the average person will never walk where they walk. So when they would be able to reiterate about a trial and the depths of their despair and what they go through, you would sit there and hear that and you'd think, my goodness, how in the world can they go through that without losing their mind? How can they deal with such depths of despair and say, oh God, I hope I never have to go through that because I don't think I could take it. Well, our Father knows what each one of us can handle. He knows our weight load. He knows our weight limit. He knows what we can do with psychologically, mentally, physically, so on and so on. And he will never put more upon any of us than what we're able to bear. Amen. Thank God for that. But yet he also does not promise he will keep us from becoming discouraged. He does not promise us he will not keep us from becoming despondent. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus himself felt discouragement. That's right. That's what the prophet said. So if the Lord Jesus felt discouragement, he must have felt it for you and I, knowing that he himself, it might not have been for an hour or a day or two or three. It was only a short-lived experience, but by experiencing it, say, for an hour, how many of his children, through seven church ages or a span of 2,000 years, would that feeling of our high priest, by feeling despair and by feeling encouragement, how many thousands times thousands of his children would he be able to help by personally being identified with your despair? Now, we know he was tempted by money, tempted by women, tempted by drinking, but he was also bothered with things such as emotional stress. He was bothered with headaches. He even allowed himself to feel fear and allowed himself to feel discouraged. So it's not just that God can identify well with a preacher whenever a preacher is getting discouraged because of his work, because it looks like he's laboring and working and, nothing is going on and my people's lives aren't where they need to be. But the Lord Jesus suffered that feeling so that a housewife, a farmer, a plain person that maybe their name will never be renowned and nobody will ever even know they existed as far as an international place in the message. But the Lord Jesus suffered it for the least one among us. Oh, I love him for that. Now, I want you to notice now, let's read, if you would, about Elijah. Most of us know about Elijah. He's not a new character to us. What's this and what hearest thou, Elijah, in 1959 in Los Angeles? The prophet said, that little old Elijah, he didn't know what to do. So he run to the juniper tree. I'm glad that there is a juniper tree. All God's people need to go to that juniper tree. Now, I don't know about you. That's not one of my favorite trees. Because generally when you're going to the juniper tree, it means you're down. It means you're discouraged. It means you're not thinking right. You're not talking right. Well, praise the Lord. It means that you're in a very low spot in your life. Yet, the prophet said, I'm glad there is a juniper tree. All God's people need to go to that juniper tree. It's a place where he was so discouraged, he didn't know what to do. Now, here is a man who had vision after vision, walked with God, had visitation of angels, walked in a supernatural realm that most of us could only dream about. And yet, this man got so down and so despondent and so discouraged that he didn't even know what to do. I thought prophets knew every move, every turn in the road. I thought they knew everything. That's the way people will try to project them, but that is a lie. God does not tell his prophets everything. God's prophets are human. That's right. God allows them to be tested. As a matter of fact, the prophet tells us God allows them to be tested more than the other people. Why would God let Jacob sit down there for 20 years and let Joseph be over in the land of Egypt and let that prophet sit there for 20 years and believe his boy was dead? Him mourned for 20 years. Wonder how many times he wept and cried and sobbed and lamented and went through so much sorrow and anxiety and pain. All it would have took was God to speak to him and said, don't cry, your boy's not dead. That's all it would have took for God to have stopped that. But yet we don't understand all the way that God moves. Was God molding something in Jacob? Was God finishing something in his life that needed to be? I guess we can ask him one day when we get there. But yet God does not tell them everything. So now, the prophet Elijah, he's carried out a great commission from God. Watch this, how Brother Branham says, it's a place where he was so discouraged, he didn't know what to do. So he ran out to himself and got under the juniper tree. Many of us feel like going there. And today, when we see the institutions filled with people of God, mental institutions, now he's not just referring to sinners, but institutions that are filled with people of God. Nervous breakdowns, tensions. Oh, it makes us all want to run to the juniper tree. Now, here he's not referring to those that are lost. He ain't even taking that into consideration. But the people of God that are winding up, and I notice this is in the 50s, so even then, even though we're under more stress now, but there was still a lot of stress, a lot of difficulty that it broke loose on the earth even in the 50s, and many of the people of God were losing their minds then. They were insane institutions. They were under medical care, under medical supervision, and yet something was happening to the people of God. So are the saints of God exempt from such things? They are not. Now, notice this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and was all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now remember, he called fire out of heaven. He called the water down, of course. He poured water out of the sacrifice. And he called fire out of heaven. And then the rain come, of course. And then God done a great supernatural thing. Then the anointing leaves him. Now when the anointing leaves him and he comes back down to himself and he thinks, dear God, what have I done? This man went over and took a sword and killed 450 false prophets. So I mean, he's pretty wound up. But when the anointing's on him, he could kill 1,000 of them if he need to. But once the anointing leaves and he comes back to himself and he goes to reliving what he's preached and reliving what he said and reliving what he's done, you imagine the fear that wells up in this man? So here comes little sissified Ahab. And he goes back home to dominating Jezebel. That's right. So sissified Ahab goes back to home to dominating Jezebel and tells Jezebel what's happened. This Elijah prophet has slain every organization that you've set up. He's slain every one of your false teaching. He has took the head off of your Trinitarian doctrine. He has absolutely slain every one of them. That's right. And Jezebel sent a messenger over to Elijah and said, the gods do so to me and more if you're not dead by tomorrow this time. Oh my goodness. Notice, Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I may not thy life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. A man that had just killed 450 prophets, and he runs under the threat of one woman. One woman. He runs under the threat of one woman. What? The anointing is now off of him, and the Spirit of God is backed off. So he's not standing by vision. He's not standing by inspiration. Don't you understand when you claim a promise of God for your healing, for your deliverance, for your children? It's easy when we're here in church and the anointing is moving all over everybody and people are worshiping God. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm healed. Praise God. My husband's going to be saved. My son's going to be saved. That's not when your real trial of faith is. It's when you walk out and you go home and you find out that husband's been out on a drunk or you've been in church. Then can your faith look at the same promise of God and say, I don't care what he's done. God's word is, I'm claiming my family as my inheritance. He's coming in. Now that takes real faith. Oh my. Notice now. So when Elijah sees this, he takes off running for his life. Now, when he did this, he goes to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He don't want nobody knowing exactly where he's at. So he leaves the servant over there, and he goes on further. Listen to this, how Brother Bram goes on. He says, it's very strange, Pastor, here knows, talking to Brother Neville, and other ministers, you watch after your Mount Carmels. You're going to have a juniper tree. Whenever a man has a blessing, and the power of God pours down, and does something for you, look out, Satan's on the track. And that ain't just so with preachers, that's so with each one of you. You ever have a good blessing? Boy, the Lord just seemed like he moves for you so good. And my goodness, you get out of church and you don't even make it to your car before something happens to all upset you. You've got a text on your phone or an email or a phone call or something, whatever it is, and you're tore all to pieces. And what in the world is it? Well, it's a juniper tree out your Mount Carmel. My. Notice he said, Satan is on the track. You just remember the next day, Monday after a good day on Sunday. It's going to be a hard thing because he's going to do everything he can. Now notice what he's doing. To knock that confidence out of you that the Holy Spirit instilled in you the day before. Another good reason to attend church. So the Holy Ghost, when we come to church, instills in us, Brother West, more confidence in God's Word.
Then what will Satan do? Now you get some more confidence instilled and you get your faith lifted up, get your heart stirred up in the presence of God, and then what will the devil do on Monday? He'll try to come right back around and steal that very thing you got on Saturday night or Sunday morning and say, well, it can happen. You got all emotional, you got all worked up. That's the time to stand your ground and say, shut up, devil. You are a liar. My God is still going to keep his word. That's right. Notice, so he said Elijah had a big day. I mean, that's a pretty big day, wouldn't you think so? Well, it don't sound so big to me, so how many of these days have you had in your life? You ever call fire down out of heaven literally? None of you? Right, me either. You ever kill 450 false prophets? Me either. It's a pretty big day. Oh, my. So Elijah had a big day, and he's nervous anyhow. Amen. All prophets was declared, could be declared insane. So don't think it's strange when they declare ours insane. Isn't it amazing that the folks who've left the message want to say Brother Branham was crazy or a liar, hypocrite or whatever, but they'll take some of these denominational founders and now they're making great heroes out of them. Well, praise the Lord. My man, Jesus Christ was declared insane. Every one of the apostles was declared insane by the public because their ministry was so supernatural till the people thought they were out of their minds. Everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You become a different person. So we can see then, this is not just prophets and pastors and teachers that are going to suffer this, but every child of God is going to be hated, cast down, persecuted, and thought crazy. So if everybody likes you and thinks you're good, you probably need to get saved. Notice now in verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself. Isn't it amazing how Christianity and suicide can walk so close hand in hand? Why is it that Christians get to a spot they don't want to live? Well, in reality, when you look at it, you know you've got such a great home beyond the river. And you've got such a body that's waiting for you. You can see why that we would have such a pull to the other side. But if you're not careful, Satan will use those things against you and try to discourage you with a heavenly body. He'll try to discourage you with a heavenly home to where you just don't want to fight no more in this life. So it's easier to give in to that disease. It's easier to give in to that thing that you're going through and just let your life be gone. Oh, my. So here Elijah's now so down. He's so despondent. He's so discouraged. He just requests for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, oh Lord. Take away my life. Assisted suicide. Now these police officers can tell you that there is a suicide called cop-assisted or law-assisted suicide to where that a person don't have enough guts to do it themselves. But they'll do something, draw a gun on a cop, and then a cop will kill them. So here Elijah is asking for God-assisted murder. God, just take my life. I don't want to live. I don't want to. It is enough. Boy, how many times have we all said that? It is enough. I'm not better than my fathers. Oh, my goodness. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. Now, this angel was a special angel. God made him before he ever made the earth when angels were made. God made him. I don't understand the difference of the sensitivity of the touch of angels, but this one had a special touch with the softest hand, the prophet Elijah said about the prophet Elijah. So who better than the prophet Elijah would know how the prophet Elijah was touched? I mean, you argue with that if you want to. So God sends an angel with the softest hand. And then God speaks to another angel up in heaven and said, I want the one of you which is the best cook we've got in heaven. You didn't know angels can cook. Well, they can. So God recruits the one with the softest hand and the chef of the angelic kitchen. Now, so the one with the soft hand comes down and touches him. Now, the Bible says, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. Now, who done that? This angelic chef. So this angel come down and put in all kinds of vitamins of courage, vitamins of strength, vitamins of diligence, vitamins of faithfulness, vitamins of supernatural dose that would be able to strengthen this prophet Elijah, because he's reached the end of his road. He doesn't know what to do. He's so despondent. He's so discouraged. He's so low. He just don't know what to do. So this angel says, oh, I got it. A super-powered, vitamin-loaded cake. Cakes. I'll go, God. I'll go. He said, that's right. You go. You make some of the best herbal cakes I've ever tasted. So he comes down and he makes a fire. And he puts all these ingredients together, not to wake Elijah, not to do it softly and gently, and they're working as a team. So here this prophet, oh God, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. Isn't it amazing how folks that are depressed get so sleepy and tired? Can you imagine when Brother Branham was here in the 50s, he said, I preach to the tiredest people that they're on the earth. He said, people are so tired. I read that the other day and I thought, you should preach to the ones I preach to now. If they was tired in the 50s, Lord have mercy, how do they feel in 2018? But I thought it was amazing how that so stuck out to him, that he said he preached to some of the tiredest people. And the people then were feeling the stress. They were already going through things that the human being had never suffered and gone through up to that time. How much worse is it now, Brother Terry? So the angel finally just kind of keeps nudging him gently, softly. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. Now, he's so weak and he's so wore out that he ain't hardly got enough strength to even move. So the angel set the cruse bottle of Gatorade right up next to his head, just within peripheral vision. And the cake, maybe the fire just right there, and he just barely able, Brother Gary, to reach over, and the angel said, eat it. Especially fixed for you. This is a Saturday night service with you in mind. It's got all the vitamins and the nutrients and the carbohydrates and the protein and all the stuff that you need just fixed for you. So Elijah reaches over and grabs a hold of the cake and opens up the cruse of water and begins to eat and drink, and he did eat and drink, and he got up a little bit and made himself up. But he still didn't do it, Brother Terry. He ate and drank and laid him down again. His depression had not broke. Now he'd eat a cake like no other man had ever ate. Ate water that, oh my goodness, who knows where it come from. Not another mortal that we know had ever eaten such a meal. And yet it did not shake him out of the place of discouragement that he was in. Oh, I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. But one thing I love about our Father, he don't stop. If one cake won't do it, what about two? What about three? What about 40? How many do you need? Just tell me how many you need. That's how many I'll have Donnie to fix for you. Amen. Amen. You know, our God is not going to give up on his children. So Elijah rouses himself and he eats and he's able to make it up and set up a little bit. I'm just so worn out. I just, oh God, I just can't. God said, that's all right, boys, leave him alone. Let him rest. Before long, he's... Poor old guy. You know what's happened to him, don't you? He's had a nervous breakdown. I wonder what we would have seen if we'd have walked up on him and seen him come out of this, laying there and him shaking and quivering, hurting so bad. Anybody thought the man's insane, the man's out of his mind. He had a nervous breakdown. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. And notice, he didn't shake him. He touched him. You see, this is one thing about being a preacher. Any sister here in the church that knows how to read a little bit could take a few scriptures and a few quotes and put together some probably some pretty good thoughts. Anybody who thinks they're called to preach. But you know, it's not just putting a few thoughts together. It's knowing when to shake, knowing when to touch, knowing when to rattle, knowing when to roll, knowing when to rebuke, knowing when to encourage. Putting the word together, putting a thought together, putting ideas together don't even mean you've got a gift. The gift comes more with the supernatural part of God leading you to take what's put together and knowing how and when and how sharp and how soft to be able to deliver it according to the needs of the people that are sitting there. Now, other places in the Bible, angels would grab a hold of people and shake them. Can you imagine shaking a man that's had a nervous breakdown and you come up to him and go to shaking him? The angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey, I love this, is too great for thee. Now the angel don't say it's too great for God, but it says it's too great for Elijah. God has acknowledged that you're in a terrible spot. So he sent me down to help you. I'm so glad God has sent down a seventh angel in the last day that has baked some real potent, powerful cakes for the bride to be able to feed on for a body change. Well, the rest of the world, I've said it, makes fun of it. Let them do whatever they want to do. We are eating ourselves to a body change. The journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So after eating special angelic baked cakes, it took him to the mount of transfiguration. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you understand? Feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man is going to take you to the mount of God as well. Hallelujah. It not only encourages you when you're down, it not only heals you when you're sick, not only lifts you up when you're weary, it will take you to the Mount Zion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword. I only. Now, he still ain't totally right yet. You see, this goes with the Elijah spirit. We're the only ones left. You see, friends, that's part of the harm and the danger of following such a message as this. We're already pulled away from the majority of Christendom. Already pulled away from the majority of the denominations in the Christian world. Is that right? Then Satan will keep right on pulling away, pulling away, pulling away. Get us off on this doctrine, off on that doctrine, off on that doctrine. That's why people are on the message have to be more careful than any other people on the earth. When it comes to isolating themselves, if they're not careful, they'll isolate themselves down to one preacher. One preacher, and that's a pastor somewhere that, oh my, thinks he's the only one that God's doing anything through, and the people will follow around that man because it goes with this type of ministry. So Elijah said, I'm the only one left. That is not the truth. Oh my goodness. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now he's better, but he still ain't quite right. Well, y'all don't like that, do you? Well, I'm sorry, it's the truth. Notice again, Brother Bram said, if you notice, it's when you are discouraged, it's when the devil can really pour it on you. That's when he gets you. If you come to church and say, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I'll ever get better or not. I've been prayed for twice. Oh my, you might as well go home. That's all. But when you can cast that aside, God don't want you to be frowning. God wants you to be happy. The human heart was made to be happy. Everybody say that one word. Happy. Let your face know it. Some of y'all eat persimmon pudding for supper before you come to church tonight. Come on, smile. God wants you to be happy. The human heart was made to be happy. Worry will cause cancer. Now, we preach against folks smoking because we say, you're killing yourself, you're killing yourself. You won't smoke one. Some of you ain't smoked in 70 years. Some of you ain't never smoked, and yet you're the biggest worry wart God ever saved. Preach, Brother Donnie. Well, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, oh, Lord, have mercy, Brother Donnie. Everywhere we look, it's in our food. These chemicals are in our water. Oh, Brother Donnie, don't touch that. There's chemicals probably in that. Brother Donnie, get off the carpet. There's chemicals. Brother Donnie, there's chemicals in your shoe. You want me to run around naked? There's chemicals in the air we breathe, in the water we drink. Chemicals everywhere. You're scared to death of chemicals. And yet you do more than all the chemicals you have taken in your atmosphere and your body. Worry, 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 worry. If some of you all tried so hard to be worry-free, the way you are chemical-free, you'd be a lot happier people. Well, we can't eat this now because this has got riboflavin in it. Now, I read on the internet. Now, you know how the internet is. If you read it on the internet, buddy, it's the truth now. I'll tell you one thing. There's carcinogens in this one right here. And be careful not eating too much barbecue because I read the other day on the internet that smoking them meats absolutely produces that smoke carcinogen. It's amazing how many message scientists there are. They say know so much what you should eat, what you should not eat. Oh my goodness, don't wipe your face with that handkerchief. Did your wife use Downy on that? There's chemicals in Downy that will absolutely transfer them parabens under the side of your head. And the way you sweat that much, oh, it'll do this and that and the other. Why should I worry? Why should I go around feeling every day of my life? That's why I pray over my food and sanctify it. Praise be to God. I know there's chemicals everywhere. I know there's all kinds of stuff going everywhere. But why should I get so wrapped up and worry 24/7? Can I commit none of this to God? Well, praise the Lord. Worry will cause cancer. Temper will cause cancer. Don't never. Now, how many will say with me tonight, we need help with this? Praise the Lord. First time this many people has been honest, I don't know how long. Well, maybe it's because all the rest of them dishonest people's gone. We need to send them on vacation more often. No. Don't never be upset. Now I'm going to ask you just a simple question. Is this attainable, or is this something that Brother Branham said, just a wild-haired idea, and nobody could ever grab it? Just a bunch of words put together, and he knew nobody could ever do it, but he just said it to taunt us and torment us. I do not believe that. Are you there, Brother Donnie? Are you? But I'd like to before I leave this place. Wouldn't that be something to stand right here and that, oh, some of y'all's looking for something so deep that it causes migraines when you think about it. But I wonder how many of us can live this. Live this. Can you imagine what kind of person you'd be? Young, old, middle-aged, whatever more, preacher, deacon, trustee, laity. Can you imagine what person you'd be no matter what come your way? That there'd be faith inside of you. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm committed to God. Am I concerned? Yes. Am I troubled? Yes. But worry will cause cancer. It's just as bad as me sitting down smoking a pack of cigarettes and I ain't going to do it. Don't never be upset. Just walk in His love. Amen. Knowing that you're walking in Him and nothing. Nothing can harm you. There's nothing can harm you. There's neither powers, things present, things future. Nothing can separate us from Him. We're in Him. Now listen to this. Oh, glory. I'm so glad He's doing a little bit of lecture with this. We never come in by our own will. He by choice elected us and brought, oh hallelujah to God. He by choice elected us and brought us to Him. So this is the bottom line. It's His business to take care of what He's took to Himself. So if you're the author of your salvation, you better keep it. If you're the author of your Holy Ghost, you better keep it. But brother, I'll tell you one thing. By God's grace, I say tonight, we're not the author. No man can pluck them from my Father's hands because He's the greatest of them all. Amen. It's the Father who takes care of it. Who's got any more power than God? So what kind of a power have you got over to take care of you? The whole powers that created the universe is plural. Amen. That took the solar system, and Brother Branham makes a blowing sound, and blew that every star once was placed short, and He watches over you. Amen. That's the kind of Father we have. But sometimes we sure don't act like it. We worry, we fret, we fret, we worry, we fret. And tell me, what has your worry ever accomplished? Anybody's worry ever healed a headache? Now I'm going to worry myself healed. I'm going to worry and I'm going to put the power of worry through my arm and it's going to come into my fingers and it's going to release the power into my head. When I touch my head, my headache's going to get worse. I mean better. Worry ever delivered anybody? Worry ever saved anybody? Why is it so easy for us to do it? Well, now let's move to his successor, Elisha. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. The king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely If it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. So sometimes it's good to have righteous friends, even if you're a stinker yourself. But all this stuff has really stressed out Elisha. And he's gotten a real bad mood. Praise the Lord. So listen at the remedy to help correct his mood. Bring me a minstrel, a musical instrument, and somebody that is talented on how to play it. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Do you know listening to the right kind of music can relieve discouragement? Now this head banging rock and roll and this head banging stuff called Christian, it ain't gonna relieve nothing. It's gonna cause more headaches. That's right. He didn't call for a rock band to come. He didn't call for somebody out there in the world to come, but he called for a minstrel, somebody that had direct contract into the anointing of the Spirit of God. Isn't it amazing? Now, God, to his predecessor, used baking of an angel and the soft touch of a hand to encourage him, not for Elisha. The cakes wouldn't work. He's so mad he'd throw them out in the yard. You know, he's a high-tempered guy anyway. So God said, that old boy needs some music. Do you know that God loves music? For those of you who don't like it, I'm telling you what, heaven is going to be filled with music and singing. That's right. It came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him and he said, thus saith the Lord, make the valley full of ditches. But thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. Remember, God was the original irrigator. But he did want them to do a little bit of work. So they get out there and they're digging ditches out in the middle of the desert. They're about to die. The armies of these kings have come against them and they're so, oh my, overwhelmed. And Elijah said, I don't even like you. You hear me, King of Israel? I don't even like you. If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat being with you, I wouldn't even look at you. Boy, some of us, if a preacher told us, I would say, Lord have mercy. Can you believe he told me that he didn't even like my appearance and he wouldn't even look at me if it wasn't for Sister So-and-so? Lord, I'll not. Yeah, you'd starve to death too, but you know what? He had to humble himself. Now, can you imagine? You press beyond what this prophet tells you. If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I want you to know something. I wouldn't even look at you. I wouldn't even have nothing to do with you. Praise be to God. Notice this. Brother Ben said, you remember when they played the music when Elijah, actually it was Elisha, but it was Elijah. The anointing of Elijah on Elisha. Remember when they played the music when Elijah, the Spirit of God, came upon him? He was a man until then. Then he was God's servant after that. Oh, praise be to God. You're talking about a mystery of prophets. Look, he was a man until then. Be in a foul mood, not have the right frame of mind, just be kind of contrary, whatever more as he was. But when the hand of God come on him, when the anointing come on him, he changed him. He was God's servant after that. Can't you see our Elijah standing on the platform over and over and over again and say, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 bottles of blood. You've had 11 transfusions. You've got sugar diabetes. But you won't need it anymore. Because now you've got a transfusion from Calvary. Can you imagine seeing one vial after another until you count 11 in the vision and you sit there? What was that? That wasn't Brother Branham. That was God, Brother Keith. Oh my. You have to get God in your midst. That prophet was all discouraged. He had been rebuking the false prophets who were standing by him, bringing on a minstrel, he said. They began to play, and the minstrel, the music started. Then Elijah got into the spirit and began to see a vision. It's the same God today. If he loved music then, he loves music now. There you go, you Church of Christ. Antichrist. The Lord Jesus loves music. For Elijah, it was a cake and a bottle of water. But for Elisha, it was music. Oh, he was just in such a foul mood and a bad mood. And just, so somebody anointed come. And, oh, maybe it's a harp. Who knows exactly what it was? And they started playing. Oh, it was just like God had a hold of them strings. It's just plucking across the C and the F and the G. And all of a sudden, oh, Elisha just, oh, yes, Lord. That's the black Elisha now. Oh, I feel it in my bones. Yes, I do. Oh, and they're saying, Lord, have mercy. What a change that made in that man. What was it? Encouragement. Of musical notes being played by someone anointed by the Holy Ghost. What was it? God was bringing his prophet encouragement by music. Watch this in leadership in 1965. You know singing gives courage. You know that, don't you? The soldiers, when they were going to battle, you know what they do? They play music and sing. And things to give them courage. And when we're going to battle, we sing. And it gives us courage to go on. There's a time you need to listen to Brother Branham. There's a time when you need to listen to preachers preach. Somebody's going to misunderstand me, sure as the world. But there's other times that singing will actually do you more good. Because if you're not careful when you're listening to preaching, you're so focused and you're under such tension. I don't want to miss it. Oh, I don't want to miss it now. I don't want to miss it. Oh, my, this is the Feast of the Trumpets. Or this is Mighty God unveiled before us. I don't want to miss it. If you're not careful, it'll create more stress. And sometimes you need to put on some good Holy Ghost gospel singing. Some good Holy Ghost specials from our church or Brother Tim's or wherever more. And just go to relax and just say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. The devil said, oh, no. Oh, no, he's patting his foot. He's kind of bouncing his hand off that. Oh, no, don't tell me. Hey, listen to a sermon. Listen to a sermon. Now, you're going to misunderstand me, sure as the world. Sometimes a sermon will put you under more despair because it'll put you under the stress of listening, under the stress of trying to figure it all out. And you just push on to something that says, and I will cherish the old rugged cross. You know, I was thinking about third pull, seven seals, seven thunders, you know. All these academics are trying to understand all. You just think about Jesus and his love and the cross. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then after that, there is going to be a meeting in the air. Yeah. Don't they sing it with me? In that sweet, sweet by and by. And you're saying, I ain't no mood for that. He said, wanting to meet you home beyond the sky. I ain't supposed to be doing this, am I? I'm supposed to be in a bad mood. I'm supposed to be, yeah? Some of you would rather have that old stinking mood than you'd be happy. Singing brings courage. You know how you fight? I'm going to go ahead and give you the punchline before we get to it tomorrow. You know how you fight discouragement? With encouragement. That was so deep it went over your heads. I knew it. Went over top of your heads. That's the way you'll fight discouragement. With encouragement. You was a good audience. Let's stand together.
Praise God. Praise God. Don't you appreciate God's grace? Oh, my goodness. I tell you, there's times, especially on Monday, after the weekend, I'm home, if I'm down in the basement piddling, doing some stuff, sometimes I won't listen to Brother Branham. I won't listen to sermons first thing in the morning. Nope. Because I've learned what I need, listen to some music. Because when I go to listen to him preach, I'll re-preach Saturday night's sermon. I'll cut it. I'll dice it. I'll slice it. I'll throw it out behind the house somewhere and think it's the office job I've ever done in my life. And then I'll cut through Sunday morning sermon and I'll think, you crazy outfit, what in the world did you say this? How come you to say that? But sometimes singing just kind of gets my mind away from it all. Next thing you know, you're feeling a little bit lighter. My load is lighter. My way gets brighter. I'm walking up the King's highway. Wonder why we have the song leader to open the service with songs instead of many sermons. Now, why shouldn't the song leaders have it? I'll tell you one thing, glory to God. Huh? Brother Donnie's going to come out here and he's going to tell you righteous bunch of people how to live right. Huh? He's going to get you straightened out. Brother Jack, he's going to burn your hide. And I'll tell you one thing, Jim Bell, wipe that smile off of your face. You wait till Brother Donnie gets out here. I mean, he's happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. He said, well, glory to God, bless your heart. How come you didn't raise your hand tonight? I'll tell you one thing, we need to get with the pastor. He's fixing to come out, and he's going to get the song leader first if he tried to preach. That's why Brother Ben said you don't need a preacher leading songs. You need a song leader. Why? Singing gets the people ready. Not embellishing, not preaching a sermonette after another sermonette. The folks need songs. Music. Songs. Some of you fought the devil all day, all week long. You drug yourself in and sit down and say, help me. You've done one down once and you went down twice and you're going down for the third time. Help me. But before you know it, you go to singing a little bit, go to clapping your hands, say, praise God. There is a God. Sure as a world, there's a God. And he loves me and he cares for me. He's going to help me. Well, what does that do? That helps you get in a good mood. For what? The preaching of the word. Amen. Don't you appreciate him? Don't you know that God knows how to have church? Folks that come in 30, 45 minutes late after service is starting, I don't need all that singing. They don't even know the Bible. They do need singing. They do need it to get themselves into that. You're going to tell me you come straight off this road out here with a bunch of maniacs and they about run over you and you're going to come set in and sit straight down and you're going to be ready to hear me preach? Huh? You're going to be sitting there jerking all over and just quivering because you just about got your head blown off with a 44 mag with that crazy driver sitting beside you. We need that time to sit in the presence of God to hear songs and music, songs of Zion. Amen. It goes to raising our spirits and we come in like Elisha. I'll tell you one thing, I better know. Who is so cold in here? Lord, have mercy, it's not the North Pole. Somebody on the other side of the church center going through the change of life are saying, Lord, have mercy, this is like South America. I'm burning up. Who in the world controls that thermostat? And then we all say, boy, I hope you have a good service. I do too. Then a little singing goes to taking place. Maybe just a brother's prelude before Brother Louis even starts. And that music goes to just coming through and say, praise God. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whatever it is. Wow, it's an honor to be in church. Thank God. Oh, it's so good to be in the house of God. How many people got up today and had a husband killed or a wife killed or a daughter killed or a son killed in a car wreck? Here I am sitting here tonight. My family's well by God's grace. And we've had food to eat and that music just keeps on ministering. Them minstrels, they're playing and oh my. Before long you say, praise God. Let's start, Brother Louis. Let's start 5 minutes before 7 instead of 7 o'clock.
I'm ready. Let's sing. Let's worship. Let's clap our hands. Let's praise God. Amen. I'll tell Brother Louis. You can ask him if you'd like. 25, 30 minutes, preliminaries, 40, something like that. But if they're not ready, sing another one. If they're not quite where they need to be, sing a little more. Don't bring me out with them cold and a bunch of dry cowhide. It'd be like me pouring my sermon like peas out on a dry cowhide and them rolling everywhere and you sitting there looking at me like that. The singing, oh my, the pre-service has such a great impact. See, why do we even do it? It's for you. Do you need it? Oh, yes. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus. I pray you'll be able to take these simple stories and examples tonight, Father. May it help us, Lord. I imagine, Father, every Christian here tonight can be able to relate to discouragement one way or another. Father, we know Satan studies us and he knows the things which get at us the most. He may start with something small, then he adds something more and more till we're to such a spot we just have such a terrible attitude. But help us, Lord. We feel awful when we get there, Lord. For a child of God to feel like that bubbling joy is not in their soul, it's a miserable feeling. We need you, Lord Jesus. And I know you do not take light, nor do we, the troubles that are around us. We're living in discouraging times. There's so much sickness, so much disease, so much trouble. We've got such political division in our nation, in the world. Lord, we've got religious division. We see our earth trembling and shaking. Just reading yesterday, Lord, the scientists saying that all these quakes that are coming together and all these new faults that they found, it's leading to what they're terming the big one. Lord, and then now them being concerned with all the shaking going on under Yellowstone, that a mega explosion could take place. And could that trigger what they call the big one? If we sat around trying to worry about it and figure it all out, we'd worry ourselves to death. But Lord, we're so glad that we have you in these troublesome times. It don't stop us from certainly being affected by it. We read those things and we think, oh God, have mercy on us. But we know the judgment awaits our nation. If Daniel was here, he couldn't pray it away. If Elijah was here, he couldn't pray it away. It's the word of the Lord. So, Father, we pray, may you bring in everyone that can be saved. We know, Lord, that if you tarried for another 10,000 years, many of the earth's population would never be saved. They have no intention to, no desire. As I was reading today, Lord, a news article where they polled people and asking people that believed in God. And yet they said there was many, many millions of people in America who believed in God. But yet church attendance is at the lowest that it's been in decades. So they ask the question, why are people believing in God stopping going to church? Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd help us. When your word tells us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that much more as we see the day approaching. But maybe a lot of them are discouraged with church. Maybe they're discouraged with what they're hearing preached. Who knows? Only you know every heart. Father, I pray you would help us. Help us to realize the preacher does not bring the service in his briefcase. He has a great part to play, of course, but the people themselves have such a part to play. I wish sometimes these people could be with me back in the office. When a visiting minister, after the service or services is over that he's preached, and he will comment about how the people pull. Even a pastor told me not long ago, I so wish my church would pull the way Happy Valley does. Help them to realize, Lord, what an important part they play in every service. A man can study, he can be so gifted, but he alone does not carry that service. The people themselves play a great part. Help the song leader. Help the musicians. Help the singers. Those that's going to sing a special. Help them to realize how important it is that they pray and pick a song led of the Holy Ghost. The Lord, they might want to do a certain one, but yet in their heart they feel in a direction to go another way. The Lord, you'd be able to lead them to know, Lord, that would so coincide with the word for that night. Special singing is not us competing one with the other and who can outdo the best and who has the best voice or musicians outdoing one another. It's us surrendering ourselves to be a minstrel. If every musician on this platform and those who fill in for these brothers when they're not here, oh, I would to God every one of them could realize when they sit down on this instrument, no matter what it is, they have the ability of rendering their hands, their mind, their gift to the Holy Ghost. Maybe there's a dozen saints, 20, 25, or maybe 50 or more sitting there and they're so despondent, they're so low. 5 minutes on the piano, 5 minutes on the organ, they might be able to lift the spirit of that saint that is downtrodden in just a matter of minutes before Brother Louis ever opens his mouth. Oh God, may they realize every time they come in and sit down, it's not how good they are, it's not how talented they are, it's not how great that people think they are. It's them surrendering into the hands of God that God might lift a child of God from their despondency. Oh Lord, help each one of us, Father. Lord, when Brother Louis asks us to sing and clap our hands, we may be tired, we may not feel like it, but may we do it anyhow knowing that our response to that might help lift somebody that's 10 times lower than we are. And they're standing right by us and it might lift their spirit because they feel that energy coming from us. Help us, Lord, to realize every one of us have such an important part to play. Grant it, Lord God. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Father, for every time we haven't done our best. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we've given you 40% or 50% or 60 or 70 or even 90. Forgive us, Lord God, for every time we've not given you our best. We ask you to forgive us tonight, Lord. Help us as your people, Lord God, to be more determined than ever before when we come to the house of God to give our best in absolutely every service. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we raise our hands in the presence of the Lord now tonight? Hey, can we sing that Walking Up the King's Highway? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many appreciates the word tonight? Amen. 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 How many not only wants to be encouraged, but wants to be and encouragement. Not just be encouraged yourself, but to be an encouragement to someone else. Maybe you're standing there clapping your hands and you're doing your best. I'm not talking about disturbing people around you, but I'm talking about doing your best before God. Maybe singing your best. Maybe you're not a special singer and you sing with all of your might and you're off key and you're flat and you're sharp and you're round and you're whatever more. But yet you do your best to the Lord. And somebody stands there, praise God, that so encourages me. My goodness, that lifts my spirit. It helps me. Look, friend, we're a body. We minister to one another. Oh my. Let's sing, shall we?
My way gets brighter.
Come on now.
My load gets lighter. Walking up the King's Highway. Oh, there's joy in knowing with Him I'm walking.
I heard our little sister Chloe back there singing. I'll tell you what, it just so blessed my heart. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Her little old country twangy accent, I thought it was beautiful. You done a beautiful job, honey. Brother Robert and some of them saints from New York is probably trying to figure out her words talking the way they talk. But it packed the anointing, didn't it? Didn't it pack the anointing? Did it help you? Did it bless you? This is what God wants it to be, because it encourages it. Do you understand? A smile on your face, Brother Jim, might be an encouragement to a person who is down. You might be lower than they are. You might be going through more than they're going through. But yet the Spirit of God, you believe the Spirit of God can use your face to smile? You never thought of that before? He can. He can use your face to smile. And then it's not just your muscles. It's not your smile actually alone. It is the Spirit of God anointing you to convey something to somebody else. Oh, praise be to God. Well, let's sing. Let's sing. Well, hallelujah. It's a high. Everybody pick it up a little bit. None can walk up that road, but your heart is a highway to heaven. Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. My way is bright. My way is brighter, and my load is lighter. I'm walking. Lord Jesus, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for another night, Lord, that we could be gathered together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious word. We love you so very much. Thank you for being so mindful of us, Lord. You know how we as humans are. We can get lazy and slothful. Even things that we know
We need to be reminded of it. As Peter said, I think as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. So it's things that many times we already know, but it needs to be stirred up within us. We thank you for sending us what we need. Sometimes it's a sermon with a soft touch. Sometimes it, Lord, may it be a brandishing sword that cuts us left and right. But we know, Lord God, you know exactly what we need. We thank you tonight, Father, for loving us so much and caring for us. Lord, really, what we all desire is to be released from this bondage that we're in these bodies. Praise God, in this so sin-cursed world. It's worse now, Lord Jesus, than when you were here. None of this is taking you by surprise, but Father, it's so much worse than it was even when Brother Branham was here. But we know that you will give us strength. You will give us courage. You will give us that which we need, Lord. We pray that you'd go with us now, Father. Watch over us. Bring us back in the morning, Father God. Speak to us once again. Those great things of your precious word. We love you. May we go ruminate on these things, think about them, ponder them in our hearts. May we just question ourselves. Take a few moments, Lord, of silence by ourselves and sit down and begin to think about what we heard tonight. Am I a happy person? Am I allowing the joy of the Lord to flow out of my life? Am I worrying too much? Am I reflecting a person who trusts God? Or am I reflecting a person who worries so much? Is that a lack in my faith? Help us to let the Word of God diagnose us, Lord, that we can come out with the right script that needs to be written for our life. We love you, Father. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back in the morning if it be pleasing to you, Father. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's been good, Brother Terry. Good to see you in church. Amen. Good to see you, Brother Gene, in church. Glad you're all feeling better. Praise the Lord. Good to see each one of you in church tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together, Harry, as we go. God bless you, saints. See you in the morning, Lord willing. Oh, it's a highway. None can walk up there.